42. They stared at Sasha and the bright streak of white running through her hair. The rogue stripe, Mike had heard kids call it. It started above her left eye and stretched back across her scalp. Sasha looked back at them. Her eyes were wide, but her breathing was still even. She studied each of their faces in turn. Mike gave her a moment. "You going to be okay?" She focused on him.
"Yeah,"
she said.
"Yeah, I'm okay."
"Not to sound cold," Olaf said with a glance at the others. "But I think this emphasizes that we shouldn't spend too much time in here."
He gestured at the bolts.
"Is anyone having any luck with these things? I can take them off, but new ones appear right under them."
"Same,"
said Jamie. Anne nodded, but her gaze was focused through the rings again.
"I've taken off 3,
said Sasha, double-checking her hand.
"I think they're bleeding through," Mike said,
overlapping.
"We're taking off bolts from every version of the door."
Arthur's voice rang above them.
"So we can't disassemble it?"
"Maybe not this way," said Sasha. "We could try the other side. It might be a localized effect."
She stepped across the platform while the others worked their way around the ramp. Sasha slipped her socket over the nut at point 11, and the wrench chattered while she levered it back and forth. It was one of the stiffer ones, and she had to use the wrench the whole way. It inched out to the end of the bolt, and she shook it free of the socket.
"Fuck me,"
she said. Another hex nut held the washer in place.
"The same?"
She looked up at the booth and nodded. "Is there something else we can do?" asked Mike. "Some other way to remove them?" Sasha shook her head.
"We'll have to break them off." "Is that safe?"
Anne asked.
"Should be."
Sasha banged her wrench on the off-white carapace.
"None of this was intended to be high-end protective. It's just enough to slow people down if someone tried to sneak in and get a look at the tech."
Jamie glanced around.
"Cables we could unplug, fuses we could pull, anything?" "We did it all a couple days ago when the door first stayed open," Sasha said. "The only things still hooked in are the feeds to the computer."
"Without those, we'll have no way to monitor the door except looking at it."
"It won't change anything," said Jamie. "All our readings have been flatlined for days."
Mike stared out at the room. Then he looked left and right, craning his head around equipment. Jamie watched him and followed his gaze.
"What's up?"
"All the roaches are gone."
They looked around. Every one of the green bugs had vanished. The floor was empty.
"We must have scared them away," said Olaf.
"So?"
He glanced at the barren floor again, then up at the booth.
"Unless you've got an idea," he said to Arthur. "I think we should get out of here and regroup. We shouldn't just stand here next to it."
"Fine. We should. Look out!"
Something moved in Mike's peripheral vision, a splayed shape. It lunged, fast. Jamie and Sasha turned to look. Olaf and Anne leaped back. It had leaped from nowhere, appearing out of... It had appeared out of the door. It landed on the floor by Jamie with a noise like pasta breaking, a baker's dozen of hard clicks in a row. The figure straightened up as Mike turned his head. It was tall and thin, dressed in a one-piece garment of pale leather that seemed to be half tunic, half cloak. One of its shoulders sat higher than the other, like a hunchback without the hunch. It held a long, thin spear in both hands. The ants pulled out a series of images comparing it to a javelin, or maybe a harpoon. He swept them away. The hands were shiny and gray. They reminded Mike of raw oysters. It had bare feet with the same wet gray skin. Its toenails were thick and pale. The ends were cracked and jagged. They looked bloody in the red light. The nails curled around the figure's toes like claws, or maybe hooves. The figure pointed at him and let out a hard, stuttering breath, the sound of wet lungs, the death rattle of something angry, fighting with its last breath. The black ants presented a set of sound clips for comparison, the most prominent one from the movie Predator. How was it pointing at him if both its hands were holding the spear? The figure swung its free arm. There was a sound of a baseball bat hitting meat, and Jamie went flying. The movement shifted its hood back, and the loop of ragged fabric slid down onto its shoulders. Mike, instincts honed by too many cafeteria fights and hallway brawls, started forward as soon as he saw the arm swing at Jamie. As the creature's hood dropped, the ants swarmed out with pictures and images in a desperate attempt to find some condition or deformity to explain the figure's face.
The closest was a collection of deep-sea fish with glass-like tusks and dead eyes, and even those weren't that close. It had three eyes. The largest one didn't seem to have any lid. It just bulged on one side of the face. The other two, stacked one above the other, were small and dark, like spider eyes. Its nose was a pair of slits in the clay-colored skin. Arthur made a sound that echoed over the god mic. Sasha shrieked out a fuck. Anne stood frozen, staring at the creature. Olaf froze too, and it lashed out at him with the spear. The shaft caught the physicist across the face with a crack and sent him stumbling away. The creature saw Mike coming and hissed out a series of clicks, like bubbles popping from the mouth of a drowning man. Its legs shifted beneath the cloak and its feet clacked on the floor. It spread its arms wide and the two hands on the right flexed. They had fingernails like claws. He looked at the extra arm and froze. The creature lunged at him. Sasha swung one of the chairs around in a wide arc. Anne screamed. The metal caster smashed into the creature's skull and sent it staggering back. The spear clattered to the ground. The impact jarred the chair out of Sasha's hands and it crashed to the floor. The creature rolled over on its stomach. Two of its arms pushed at the floor, its legs shifted beneath the cloak, and its spine folded back like a circus contortionist, lifting its head up high. It took three scuttling steps towards Sasha on all fours before it straightened up onto two legs again. Anne was still as a statue, her eyes locked on the monster. "Hey!" shouted Mike. He waved his arms. "Over here!" Its swollen eye glanced at him. The other two stayed on Sasha. It growled again, and the sound built into a roar that echoed across the main floor. It went after Sasha. Mike charged. The creature slashed at Sasha with one hand. She jumped back and threw her arm up. Four slashes of red appeared on her arm. The tall thing followed up with a backhand across her jaw that sent her sprawling. Then Mike slammed into it. The impact was like tackling a scarecrow made of 2x4s. The creature staggered, tripped, and fell. Mike's face was pressed into the cloak. It smelled like dust and leather and sweat. The creature swiveled its head around and glared at him. Its teeth gnashed together. An elbow slammed back into his ribs, and then another one. The cloak twisted and thrashed beneath him. Mike pushed himself up and threw a punch as the creature turned. His fist struck the garden of teeth and the points tore at the skin on his knuckles. One of his arms twisted back. How did it bend like that? And grabbed his wrist. The creature wrenched itself around so it could look him in the face. This close, he could smell its meat breath and see the glistening of its eyes and the tiny scales that made up its skin. He tried to throw a punch with his free hand, but the creature grabbed it too. Its fingernails bit into his skin. The third hand, it had three arms, lashed up and grabbed him around the back of the head. The spidery fingers twisted themselves into his hair. Its teeth spread, its bear-trapped jaws opened wide, and it pulled him down. Mike's pulse made another leap. Blood trickled on his wrists, and Jamie smashed a fire extinguisher down on the creature's elbow. She heaved the canister up and brought it down again. Something cracked in the arm. The creature howled. It hurled Mike aside, and he slammed into the legs of a workstation. The creature folded itself onto four limbs again, the extra arm hanging limp on its high shoulder. It snarled at Jamie. She swung the extinguisher back for another blow, and Anne's paralysis finally broke. The receptionist grabbed Jamie's arm and spit out some panicked, incoherent syllables, the drowning swimmer taking the lifeguard down with her. The creature glared at the two women for a moment, then stalked forward on all fours. Jamie managed to shake Anne off. She swung the fire extinguisher around in a wide arc. The monster reared back and up. The red cylinder swept past it, and momentum made Jamie stagger forward. The extinguisher twisted in her hands, and she fumbled. It slipped from her fingers and left her and Anne unarmed in front of the creature. Its head swung between them, and one of its arms lashed out. It punched Anne square in the chest, its knuckles landing right on her breastbone, and she flew back. The creature watched her crash to the floor, then reached for Jamie. A socket wrench smacked into its shoulder blade and hit the floor with a clank. The creature turned, and Mike smacked it across the face with the flat screen. The LCD cracked, but so did a few teeth. Plastic and enamel rained on the floor. Anne screamed again. Mike swung the screen back, but the creature had an arm up. It batted the weapon from his hands, and one of its feet lashed out to hit him in the gut. He'd never been hit so hard in his life. He felt the jagged toenails rip at his flesh as the impact knocked him back. He hit the ground and grabbed at his stomach. It was hot and wet. Gut injuries were supposed to be a horrible way to die. The creature roared again, its clicks bouncing off the walls. Another roar drowned out the creature, and another, and another. It twisted with the second gunshot, shrieked at the third. Arthur limped forward with the pistol held firmly in both hands. It was black with a barrel that was squared off instead of round. He squeezed the trigger again and again. One round passed through the creature's cloak to spark against the steel ramp. Another made it jerk. It raced toward him, covering the distance with terrifying speed, and he shot and shot and shot. It lunged at Arthur, and he flinched away, but there was no strength left in it. A feeble swing of its claws missed him, and it crashed to the floor. He fired another shot, one-handed and half-looking, but it would have been hard to miss at this range. The cloak twitched, and the slide of the pistol slammed back and locked. The creature let out a low, bubbling moan that trailed off into a wheeze. It settled against the floor, its outstretched hands relaxed. Arthur looked at the figure for a moment. He looked at the pistol. Then he took two uneven steps to the left and threw up.